This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Carolyn Alston. Carolyn is the Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Carolyn, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roger. It's great to be here.
Well, I hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend.
It was lovely.
Yeah. Well, the weather was a little bit dicey for a while there. Yeah. But anyway, Carolyn, you know, last week, the Coalition for Government Procurement, an organization we both, work for, held a GSA business roundtable with senior leadership from GSA, and I want to give you an opportunity to talk about some of the highlights of the roundtable discussion.
Oh, it was a great opportunity for our members to engage with GSA around the revised GSA mission statement and to talk about some of the priorities that the agency will pursue over the next few years. It was also good to talk to some of the new GSA leadership. And we had quite a number of people there from their acquisition organizations. So it gave us a good opportunity to find out what GSA's priorities are.
Yeah, it was truly sort of a Mythbusters event. You know, the importance of communication between the government and industry to try for the mutual goal of providing, better value to customer agencies and to the American people. The event did focus around the Administrator Tangerlini's new mission statement for GSA and the six priorities. So I guess we could talk a little bit about that and what the conversation around some of those were.
Yes, I think we had presentations from the Deputy Commissioner PBS, Public Building Service, and the Commissioner of Federal Acquisition Service, as well as their Chief Acquisition Officer.
Yeah, Tom Sharp, Ann Rung, and Michael Gelber, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's good to see that GSA is focused around delivering value and savings to their customers. So much of the conversation focused around that priority. And it's interesting because GSA and the coalition members are both interested in at least two of the same priorities, one being reducing contract duplication.
Right, yes. Well, I knew where you were going with that one, Carolyn. Contract duplication, I think, was a big I don't know if it's correct to say it was one of the themes of the event, but it was a topic of discussion across the sessions, and it is gratifying to see that there's more and more sensitivity to that issue. It's something that our members in the coalition have been talking about now for quite a while, a couple of years, and I think it's all, and I feel sort of gratified because I can see it becoming part of the, day-to-day conversation within the procurement community. How many contracts for the same or similar services are enough, or how many are too many, and how many, what is that right balance? And I think GSA, especially, at this point with sequestration and budgetary challenges, spending that extra bid and proposal cost, the extra overhead administrative cost for managing, full and open competitions and doing multiple contracts for the same thing doesn't make a lot of economic or management or operational sense for the federal government. And I think GSA has a great opportunity to demonstrate value to customer agencies so they don't feel like they have to create another contract. They can go use a GWAC or they can go use the GSA schedules are in GSA or its fleet program across the board.
Yes, I think that what was once a philosophical discussion has been made very real by the budgetary challenges that the agencies are facing now. They're just simply is not the money, and they are not the people to successfully maintain unnecessary contracts. And so existing contracts become a real value to agencies that are looking to place their orders, to obtain their requirements, and not have to spend the extra administrative time and cost to do it.
Right. I think there was a lot of discussion, to pick up on that point a little bit and emphasize a little bit more, but there was a lot of discussion about procurement lead times, mm-hmm. and the difference that a pre-existing contract vehicle can make, and where you can have a streamlined task order competition. So to reduce the time to a matter of a month, to where if you were doing an open market contract, you'd have to keep it on the street for at least a month just to start with on Fed Biz Ops, just to comply with, the statutory and regulatory requirements for full and open competition and in open market sense.
Yeah, and I think GSA is going to have two challenges. One is to successfully communicate to agencies exactly what that time saving is, and so I think that's going to be a real challenge to them.
Right. Well, the time saying how much it is, but also what does it mean for their organization? If there's less time spent working on, a full and open competition, that leaves more time for other transactions, right? If you're the contracting officer, right, or if you're the program manager who's assisting in the evaluation, or the technical folks within a particular program are seeking a requirement from the private sector to mm-hmm. support their mission. If you're doing a streamlined acquisition via the schedules or GWAC or one of the other programs that GSA has, it's there's a ripple effect there, right? There's a multiplier. You can spend more time doing your actual job or working on other aspects of things.
Yeah, but I think it comes down to even a more practical point than that, is that they actually have to document the time savings. Now, there yes. were some old analysis, some studies that were done to show the difference between the time it takes to place an order against a GSA schedule or under a BPA, as opposed to doing a full and open competition. And I think maybe the time is now to
do another one of those.
Some of those.
What was
analysis.
That? Was that a Johnson and Johnson? Who's
yeah,
who did
Johnson
that?
Johnson and Johnson.
Were you there when that was done, Carolyn?
Yes, I was there when right. that was done. And so, if I was there when it was done, that means it was too long ago. It's time.
I'm glad you said that, not me, Carolyn. I'm glad you said. But I think that's a great suggestion. The idea of taking a look and doing some, developing some data. Mm-hmm. On the time savings and what that means for agencies. What is it, and then from that you can extrapolate what it means in terms of improved operational or organizational mm-hmm. efficiency for those who are using the schedules.
Mm-hmm. But the second challenge I think that GSA has is to keep streamlining its processes. Even though the time for placing an order is certainly shorter than the time for doing a full and open competition, I think the times could be even shorter. And that GSA had to do some real examination of its contracting processes and maybe even some of the order processing to make sure that those time frames keep going down.
Right. Well, there's a contracting, but there's one thing I want to see if you agree with me on this, is that one of the things that the government has sort of done is they've lost the sort of institutional knowledge of why the streamlined task order, multiple board contracting, mm-hmm. GSA scheduled contracting was created. And that was to put, a set of contracts in place and then do a truly streamlined competition. Too often these days, what you're seeing is, you're doing a task order competition and using all the Part 15, negotiated procurement and competition rules and all that process, which builds in additional time and complexity in the acquisition process, which is really wasn't intended for task orders.
Yeah, and I think even GAO has addressed that in some of its own cases in bid protests, that if an agency layers on Part 15, they're going to enforce Part 15. but that is not necessary in designing a task against an IDIQ contract.
Well, Carolyn, right now we're up on that note. We're going to take our first break. But when we come back, we'll be talking more with Carolyn Alston. Carolyn is the Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And we'll talk a little bit more about the roundtable. I think we'll transition to pricing policy, one of Carolyn's favorite topics. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
This is an important time for the federal government, a chance for agencies to do things differently. How will you help shape your future? Turn to Deloitte. With our private sector insight and public sector experience, we'll help you rethink, reduce, and restructure, and turn resolve into results, so you can see what's possible and make it happen. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. Wherever you need to go, Deloitte sees you there.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Carolyn Alston. Carolyn is the Executive Vice President and the General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And, you know, Carolyn, one of the sessions during the roundtable focused on the GSA schedule pricing policy, and was something status quo or time for a change was, I think, the title of the session. And, you know, first, and you were, you know, one of the participants in that, and have been working on the pricing policy for lots and, you know, a long time. And it's kind of, you have kind of a unique perspective in that you were at GSA and you advised in your general counsel's role, advised clients on the policy. Then when you were at GSA, you worked to transform the policy and place it in GSA's internal regulations. Then you ultimately left GSA and you went into the private sector and you worked advising companies who had to negotiate contracts. And now, so you've done it all across the spectrum in a certain sense. So it's one of those things, you know, knowing what you know now, I think you're having an opportunity to talk about where you think the policy ought to go. So with that introduction, I'm going to turn over to you and talk about a little bit about what we talked about at the roundtable and where the policy may or may not be going.
Yeah. Okay, great. Needless to say, I have done a lot of work on the multiple award schedule pricing policy throughout my career. And so the title, status quo or time for change, is kind of intriguing, because I think that the multiple award schedule pricing policy was built around a concept of tying pricing to the commercial market. And so the policy has actually stood the test of time for many, many years. I think the underlying policy dates already way back to the 80s. There was a major revamp of the program in the 90s, but still the concept...
Yeah, I'm sorry, Karen. But I have to tell you, as I remember, I had, when I worked at GSA in the general counsel's office, I had the MAS pricing policy statement. It was a written statement. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even a regulation. It was like dated 1982.
Right. That's right. Yes. So
you're absolutely right. It goes back a long time.
Yeah. And it's amazing that it could have lasted this long. But I think what has happened is there have been some major changes in the commercial market. There have also been a lot of changes to the federal ordering procedures. Those changes, I think, now give an opportunity to change the underlying MAS pricing policy to streamline it and make it more effective for today's market. So to answer the question, status quo or time for change, I have to say it's time for a change.
Okay, so let's start to pull back the layers of the onion, mm-hmm. or whatever yeah. cliche we can use. But so in terms of the commercial market, what do you point to as things that have changed?
I think if you look at, for one thing, look at what agencies are buying now as opposed to what they were buying in the 80s. The policy was developed very much around a product scenario. If you look at what agencies are actually buying now, I think way more than 60% of the items purchased are services. And also, even if you pull that back a little and look at how services are being purchased, they're being purchased as a bundle of different types of services in the professional services area. So agencies more and more are buying solutions that involve more than one type of professional service and could involve both services and products. And I think that you will find that similar type of buying in the commercial market.
Right. And that's one aspect of it, too. And how has the internet sort of changed? I mean, it seems to me that, you know, there is less and less standard sort of price lists in today's world.
There's far more customization of pricing so that providers are able to customize to the particular transaction that's before them. So that it's very difficult to compare one project to another in the services market. And the schedules policies and the way that the prices are negotiated assume a certain amount of standardization so that you can compare one to another.
Right. And yeah, and the, you know, the way, the dynamic way that people go to market these days, where you do price almost to the moment, right? And the requirement, or, you know, into what's going on in the marketplace at that point, or internally in your company, it's the standard price list. It's I don't want to say it's gone away completely, but it's almost like there's, even if they exist, there's so much variation in terms of, you know, whether you got a sale for this moment in time. The technology just creates a dynamic there that I don't think existed, you know, even 15 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the technology was totally different then. And but I think where we are with the rules is that the ordering procedures have recognized the fact that there is a lot of change in the market.
Right. Day-to-day. Yeah, that's part two. That's like what's happened in the federal sort of federal regulation piece. So
yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And the federal regulations now require a lot more competition at the task order stage than it did 20 years ago, than it did 10 years ago, than it did 3 years ago. So at this point, all professional services that require a statement of work, which is just about all professional services,
right,
have to be competed among contract holders at the task order
GSA
stage.
Schedule contract holders, right.
And even in the product area, any task order over $150,000 has to be competed among contract holders. And that's
all contract holders capable of meeting that requirement, right?
All,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And but layered onto that is a very significant disclosure requirement at the contract level. There are very significant contract negotiation requirements at the contract level. The coalition has a working group that's looking at MAS pricing. And basically, what the working group is proposing is that because there's so much competition at the task order stage, that gives the government an opportunity to streamline some of the contracting processes. You don't have to disclose, or you should not have to disclose on every single transaction if you know that there's so much competition that will occur subsequently.
Right. And Carolyn, that's good. You know, that working group is has some interesting set of ideas. But you know, what I think I want to do first maybe is talk a little bit about a couple other groups that made recommendations about the schedules. Like there's a MAS pricing panel, I mean, AMAS panel that was done, I think, about 2008, 2009, somewhere around that time frame. Mm-hmm. And then even before that, there was a SARA panel, which made some recommendations on the schedules that haven't actually been implemented. And I'd just like to get, you know, what those are and what your take might be on them a little bit. Let's start with the SARA panel recommendations.
Yeah. Well, the SARA panel recommended that GSA did some pilot testing, particularly in the professional services area, and that GSA would test a new schedule where contractors would simply post their pricing and then have an active task order competition.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. It was professional services or IT professional services. Mm-hmm. the idea, you're exactly right, the idea of, and I know this, Carolyn, because I was on the Sarah panel. I was just, it's a test, and you passed.
Thank you.
Yeah, but the idea that you could, that because of the nature of services in particular, to pilot the idea of contractors posting rates, providing that information so that there's a robust ability to do market research, and frankly also by posting those rates in and of itself is a form of competition, mm-hmm. right? And then, you know, because services...
Because the rate is seen. And,
right.
And there's
by
certain,
competitors and by, right? And, you know, if it's on GSA Advantage. Right. So, and then at the same time, because services are so requirements driven, you would have that the competition requirements at the task order level. And in a certain sense, when you think about it, right, the regulations have adopted that part of mm-hmm. the service requirement. When you mentioned that anything over the micro purchase yes. threshold, $3,000 that has a statement of work has to be competed. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like that piece has been adopted.
Right.
But the other piece is just sort of lingering out there. But Carolyn, you know what? We're hard up on the break. So when we come back, we'll be talking more to Carolyn Alston, the Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And we'll continue our discussion. We'll talk about the MES panel and finish up on the SARA panel and their pricing recommendations or recommendations for the GSA Schedules Program. And you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The mission of government involves critical efforts to improve national defense, economic security, health services, and citizens' lives. The strategy and technology consultants of Booz Allen Hamilton are proud to help government address cyber threats, reform the financial system, modernize infrastructure, and protect our nation. For nearly 100 years, Booz Allen has partnered with clients to deliver results that endure. To see Booz Allen's ideas in action, visit BoozAllen.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Carolyn Alston. Carolyn is the Executive Vice President and General Counsel of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And hey, Carolyn, you know, when we took the break, we had been, you've been taking that test, right, on the SARA panel.
I've been taking the test.
recommendations. And, you know, I wanted to, you know, sort of finish up on the SARA panel and if you had any other thoughts about the approach that was recommended by that esteemed group.
Yes, I mean, I think that the recommendation of the panel was really a good one and actually was a little bit before its time because it came before the additional competition requirements had been built into the ordering procedures. And to the extent that there was any reluctance to try it back in 2007 or whenever the SARA panel was, I think that government agencies could feel even more comfortable launching a pilot now because of the amount of competition at the order stage.
Right. And, you know, and to me, you know, one of the things that we're talking about here, I think, is a little bit about balance, right? Mm-hmm. If you've sort of taken the program to a point where there's both statutory and regulatory mm-hmm. competition requirements, especially for services, especially, you know, over $3,000, you know, correspondingly, and given the fact services are, you know, just the way the market, you combine that with the way with the fact that services are very unique project to project and changes in the commercial marketplace, it seems like that, you know, to balance the program and streamline it, as you have mentioned, looking at the front end and how the contracts are established is something that I think would be healthy right now. And I think GSA's, to its credit, is going to take a look at that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, you know, in that regard, now let's turn to the other piece of, you know, organization that, or a body that looked at the MES program, the MES panel that was established, you know, I think around 2008, 2009 timeframe.
Right, yeah, 2008, I think the panel began. And the interesting thing about both the MAS advisory panel and the SARA panel was that it included both government agencies and private sector representatives. You know, sometimes when industry is making recommendations, there's a little bit of suspicion that they might be self-serving recommendations. But in this case, it was, in both cases, it was a balance of federal and industry representatives. So I think that's says a lot about the validity of the recommendations. And the MAS advisory panel, again, looked at the GSA schedule program exclusively. The SARA panel was about
cross-government,
But the advisory panel was unique to the GSA schedules program. And one of the things they did look at was the use of the price reduction clause. And that panel, again, recommended that as competition increases, that GSA be less reliant on the price reduction clause. And specifically, they recommended that a set of rules that had applied only to DOD at that time be expanded government-wide. And those are the rules basically that we see today, that where you have to compete orders over $150,000, compete orders for services even more frequently than that. Okay, and the panel recommended that once those rules were in place, that GSA should eliminate use of the price reduction clause.
Right. So, so again, there's sort of the you know, I think there's a theme there. I mean, because the SARA panel looked at that sort of specific recommendation too, and with regard to you know taking the 803 procedures that DOD had for competition and expanding those government wide. So there it is again. It's a focus on competition as you know the driver for the government, as opposed to an oversight mechanism that's really sort of, you know, after the fact dependent, as opposed to at the time and at the point based on a requirement and getting multiple offers.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look historically at the program, you can see where increased competition has increased the value of the prices that the government has, because in the when the program was changed back in the 90s, one of the things that was done was to change the way the price reduction clause worked for federal agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Before the 90s change, if a contractor offered a price reduction to one agency, they have to offer it to every agency. And the impact of that was to decrease the willingness of contractors to offer price reductions at all. That was changed so that a company, a contractor could offer a price reduction to one agency and it wouldn't have any implications on its prices to the rest of the federal government. I think what we saw when that changed was a big increase in the competitiveness among contractors on individual transactions that did improve multiple award schedule pricing.
Right. Where at the time of acquisition, at the time of purchase, right?
Yes, at the time of purchase.
And that's the important point, like measuring what that actual acquisition price is.
Right.
And it's, again, it's the total cost of acquisition, right? It's the price that's paid pursuant to the competition, but it's for a customer agency, it's saving all that time and effort. That's all goes into total acquisition cost.
Yes.
And efficiencies, operational efficiencies, if you don't have to do, you know, complete, you know, full and open market type procurement.
Right. And just like as you have to look at total acquisition costs, and this is one of the frustrations of talking about multiple award schedule pricing, is that you have to look at both the initial contract price and the task order pricing together to assess the value of the program. I mean, that's the way the program is designed.
It's almost like a funnel. It drives you to a competition at the task order level,
right,
as opposed, right. And, well, you know, it's interesting you brought up the way the schedules used to work with regard to, you know, back, and I remember I was at GSA all those many, many, many years ago where the rule was, if you gave a price reduction to an agency, you know, that became the price in the contract, and mm-hmm. the criticism of the schedules program from customer agencies that at that time was, I can't get a better price.
Right.
So your prices are static. You don't reflect mm-hmm. the market. It's almost like you can't have it both ways. But interestingly, GSA waived the price reduction clause in a recent circumstance, to foster competition on an open market procurement for another agency, which sort of demonstrates, you know, that it's almost the same scenario in a certain sense, right?
Right. That the way the price reduction clause was working blocked the flexibility of contractors to give additional price reductions.
Right.
At the task order stage, and to another agency on a contract separate and apart from the schedules.
Right.
And GSA wanted to facilitate, you know, competition for that agency and waive the price reduction clause.
Right. Yeah, well, Carolyn, right now we do have to take a break, but when we come back, we'll have our last segment and we'll finish up with Carolyn Alston. She is Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And, you know, we will continue our discussion of GSA schedules and talk and touch on a few other issues regarding government-wide contracting. And you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Shouldn't a workstation live up to its billing? If yours are no longer working, there's Initiate from the Han Company. Initiate workstations are easy to order, install, and reconfigure. Components fit precisely and provide endless ways for space planners to arrange people. Initiate is also highly sustainable, helping reduce your environmental footprint. Initiate workstations, inspired by the practical needs of the workplace. Online at han.com. That's HON.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're talking to Carolyn Alston. Carolyn is the Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Carolyn, I know you spent about 27 years at GSA, I think.
I did.
Don't get mad at me for saying saying the number. But, you know, just how could you, I just want to I'll just finish up on the schedules program. Like, how has it evolved? I mean, the pricing policy has fundamentally sort of changed the state, remained fairly static. You know, the principles have been consistent. You know, what's the biggest changes you've seen over time? And why has it been, you know, we went from a $3 billion, $2 billion program to a overall $50 billion program to today. You know, do you have any thoughts on why that happened?
Yeah, well, I think a couple of things. I believe that actually, as much as we love to hate the IFF, I think the IFF, or that's the industrial funding fee where GSA became self-funding.
Yes.
I think the need to go to self-funding also forced a change in the attitude of GSA as an agency on what it focused on. I think that generated more customer focus. And when that customer focus perspective took effect, GSA went out and asked agencies what they needed, and there was a great need for the acquisition of services.
Right.
I think the schedules program became more focused on expanding to include items that agencies said that they needed, and the program evolved from basically a product-oriented program to services-oriented. And I think that services accounts for a huge increase in the number of acquisitions going through the schedules program.
Right. I think another good example of that is GSA had a vision for eBuy, which is an electronic quote tool, which provides transparency for task order competitions and provides notice to the contractors. And, you know, that was, and frankly, you know, to GSA's credit, that was ahead of where the government was in many ways in terms of that. I can remember when it was launched, and the goal was to provide that portal for competition a streamlined portal for competition at the order level, which was ahead of the regulations.
Yeah, and I think GSA Advantage was ahead of the regulations. It was ahead of technology at that time. And now the whole blossoming of the internet has given the agency great opportunities for communicating with its customers, for market research, finding out what types of other technology is out there in the market, not only for GSA to take advantage of in implementing his own programs, but also bringing to the market for other agencies.
Right. Yes. And well, that's enough about the GSA schedules. Now, Carolyn, I want to ask you a couple questions. Right. I've had you on the show several times, but I haven't, delved into the history of Carolyn Alston, so to speak. And so, it's kind of interesting to talk to people, and I've asked many guests, so don't feel like I'm singling you out. Okay. But I just, how did you, because most folks, when they're like, I know I'm, when I was in law school, I didn't think I'm going to go into government contracts. That was the last thing on my mind, but I ended up working at GSA for 20 years, and then going into private practice. So how did you end up in the procurement world?
I'd love to say that it was a plan.
But mine wasn't a plan either, so that's okay.
It certainly was not. I was at Georgetown Law School, and I was looking for an opportunity to work in the federal government, presented that opportunity. And I started working at GSA. It was an agency that I really didn't know anything about. But once I did get an internship there, strangely enough, in public building service.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. So you've been both sides.
I've been every place in GSA. And it gave me an opportunity to do a lot of different things. So once I was in the agency, I just worked at many different positions there. And it turned out to be a good career.
Okay. So after your internship, how'd you end up? You ended up working. Did you end up in the Office of General Counsel immediately after that?
I went from my internship at Public Building Service. I was always a practical person, if nothing else, and I knew that I had to find a way of supporting myself long term. So I took advantage of the opportunity to meet a lot of people while I was there, and I approached the General Counsel. And I was able to get a job there.
Okay.
And at the time, we had a female general counsel, which was a very unusual situation for way back in that era. So it worked out well for me.
Right. Well, along those lines, another question I like to ask is, you have made your career procurement, right, fundamentally. And, you obviously, and as someone who works with you every day, I know you enjoy it and you care about it. And it's like, so what about procurement appealed to you and continues to appeal to you?
I think it's the impact on government. And, most people don't think of it like that, especially if you're sitting from the outside. But working in the acquisition field in federal government gives you the ability to impact missions of agencies that you just couldn't imagine. I mean, I think that people who work for the government for a long time actually do it because of their impact on the country. I mean, it sounds very hokey and patriotic, but I think that's what it was for me.
Right. And I to your credit, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's the thing that why I stayed in procurement and enjoyed it is because you do touch so many different things and support so many different missions that people truly care about. Folks complain about the government, but there's a lot of things that it does in terms of health and human safety and protecting
security.
Yeah, exactly. I was privileged to be able to work on at GSA, and I think it's true. And GSA's taken a lot of hits over the last few months or year. But the people I worked with at GSA and continue to know at GSA truly care about the mission and care about supporting their customer agencies.
And so, I think you find that all throughout government.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you work with all the other agencies, that people are very focused on trying to do the right thing. It's a very complex set of rules, and they're a very complex set of stakeholders, so that not only do you have to save money, but you also have to make sure that small businesses are adequately incorporated into the process. You have to make sure that military interests are satisfied. So it's many
and
many
you have and the oversight plays its role, which is appropriate as part of the system. But it's I used to it's kind of interesting. I used to for new employees when I was at GSA that's coming into my office, I would draw a wheel with a spoke, with spokes coming off the wheel, and I'd circle and I'd identify all the different stakeholders that GSA and it just the procurement community in general has, touches the procurement community, the federal procurement community, that all play a mix and, how the system works. And it's a very challenging, because it's not just the bottom line, it's like kind of profit loss statement. There are so many different other factors. So,
And for anybody who likes to figure stuff out, it couldn't be a better place to work than acquisition because there's so many moving parts and you have to figure out how to make them all work together effectively.
It's almost three-dimensional or something, right?
Yeah.
And on that note, I want to thank my guest, Carolyn Alston. Carolyn is the Executive Vice President and General Counsel at the Coalition for Government Procurement. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30 only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.